Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles tonight, get those out. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this evening, and hopefully, let me just kind of introduce the, we're going to be in Luke 24 and Acts 1 part of the evening. That's our focal passages for tonight. Well, I tell you what, let's just read those first. Luke 24 and verses 50 through 53. And then we'll jump over to Acts 1, 9 through 11. So you find Luke 24 first, and then we'll read the sister verses to what Luke was writing about that are amplifying, give supporting scripture to this. Luke 24, let's all stand if we can, if you're able to. Invite you to honor God's word but that way. Luke 24, verse 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And Luke says, amen. And now turn just right in your Bible a few pages to Acts chapter 1. And let's read verses 9, 10, and 11. These are the supporting scriptures to the ones that we've just read in Luke's gospel. Of course, Dr. Luke is also the one who was inspired to write the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" Two amazing passages of Scripture, and with the Lord's help, we're going to unpack those tonight, okay? David Fry, ask God to bless the Word, would you? Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. There are, well, every area and aspect of the Lord's ministry is awesome, amen? But there are especially five historical facts about the Lord's 3.5 year, His period of ministry here on earth, and that concern His life and His ministry. And they are, we just finished celebrating the first one, His incarnation. And then there was His crucifixion. And then, of course, His resurrection, which we amplified back in Easter, if you remember those days. And then the fourth area of the Lord's life and ministry was His ascension, which we're looking at tonight. And then, of course, there's His exaltation. And but tonight, we want to talk about His ascension. And I don't know. I just know how, you know, I've experienced. How many of you have ever heard a sermon on the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You don't know? You are going like this. So I'm like, so 5 or 6 of you. I've only heard one sermon in my 62 years on the ascension of the Lord, and it may have been the greatest sermon I've ever heard. And now this one won't be anywhere near like the one that I heard, okay? But it really got me to thinking about the ascension of the Lord, and so. When you start studying the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, His return back to where He came from, it's like finding an untapped mine of wealth, an unexplored ocean of treasure. It's like finding and I guess what I would call an unsurveyed galaxy of glory. It's an amazing, amazing doctrine, the doctrine of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus often talked about His ascension in His ministry. As a matter of fact, Jesus was home. Did y'all know Jesus got homesick? This means yes, this means no. Jesus got homesick from time to time to go back to glory. Listen to what John tells us here in chapter 6 and verse 62 of his gospel. It says, "What then," Jesus said, "what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before?" And then chapter 7 and verse 33 says, "Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to Him who sent me." And so just those two verses of Scripture in John's Gospel tell us that Jesus was homesick from time to time to go back to where He came from where He was before the world even was. And so I believe, this is what I believe, if you had television cameras back in those days, if you had these smartphones, if you had iPads and internet and social media, you could have broadcast the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the planet. But they didn't have those back then. But I've been praying this afternoon that through the eyes of faith, we might experience and be able to see with those tear-stained eyes of faith the Lord ascending back to heaven in all of His glory. And so I want us to kind of go back to the Mount of Olives together tonight, where Jesus spoke these last words that we just read to His disciples. And I just want to give you two major points to kind of park on tonight. The first one is that there was an exit from this world. There was an exit from this world. That's what Luke's talking about there in verse 50 of Luke 24. "And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while He blessed them that He was parted from them and carried up into heaven." There was an exit that Jesus made from this world. There was no longer any a need for Him to stay. He had finished and completed His work that the Father had sent Him to do. There was no other sacrifice that needed to be made for my sin and yours. And so it was time for Him to go home. And now, picture this if you can. Suddenly, the strongest law in the universe was broken, suspended, or relaxed to let go free the Son of Man. That law of gravity, the law we call of gravitation, that law which keeps the planets whirling around the sun, that law of gravity which which keeps the sun in its place and keeps the planets whirling around the sun. But that law of gravitation, while it could hold on to the stars, it could not hold on to the bright and the morning stars. That law that could keep the sun in its place could not keep the Son of Righteousness from arising with healing in His wings. And so tonight I want us to look for a little while at this ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus ascended from this world and went back to where He came from. Somebody smile tonight, so I'll be a little bit encouraged. All right. I know you've got your thinking caps on and you're trying to move through this tonight, and I get that. But Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "A cloud received Him up out of their sight." Now, what was the name of that? I just thought of this. What was the name of that TV show? And Lost in Space. You know, and Scotty would go over there and get, you know, yeah, and they would say, "Scotty, beam me up," and boom, they'd go up. Well, that's in a sense what happened to the Lord for sure. I mean, He ascended back to heaven. The law of gravitation was relaxed or broken. Something happened, and the Lord just literally rose up and rode the clouds back home. And so there was an exit from this world, out of their sight. And so I believe this cloud that he rode back on was the same Shekinah cloud of glory that guided and guarded the children of Israel all throughout their wilderness wanderings there in Israel, or you know, in the Sinai Peninsula, I guess is what you would probably call that place today. And so he went home on a chariot of deity. And listen to what John chapter 7 says about this. It was time for the Lord to go. John chapter 7 and verse 39 says this. John 7:39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And then you jump on over to John 16 and verse 7, and you find the same school of thought here, the reason for it being time for the Lord to go back. Nevertheless, John says in 16:7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And so in order for the promise of the Holy Spirit to take place, in order for the Holy Spirit had to come, what did Jesus need to do? He needed to leave. That's right. He needed to go. And so it was expedient for him to go away. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it was to our advantage that the Spirit of God might come. You see, Jesus was in bodily form. And you know, you can only be one place at a time if you're a human being. And Jesus was fully God and he was fully man. And Jesus said, once I leave and once I go away, when the Holy Spirit has come, you'll do greater works than I've done. Isn't that amazing? And so anything that God's doing today in this dispensation is being done through the power and the presence of the Spirit of Almighty God. And so the ascension gift of the Lord, Jesus, was the person of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit, 10 days later, came down. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit of God showed up here? Aren't you thankful, Sunday night crowd, that the Holy Spirit came to dwell amongst us? And so it was to our advantage that He ascended. And I want to just kind of summarize by saying this, because the Son is up there and the Spirit is in here, the saints have victory out there. Now, I get so tired of hearing all these naysayers and gloom and doom speakers talking about the church. They talk as if the church is a relic, old-fashioned, a thing of the past, that we're going down for the count, that we're no longer relevant. Well, I want to tell you, the history of the church will be the same as the history of our Savior repeated. Laughed at? Yes. Mocked? Yes. Ridiculed? Yes. Spit on? Yes. Made fun of? Yes. Crucified? Yes. Beaten? Yes. But risen again. Triumphant. Glorious. Victorious. You see, the church isn't going down. She's going up. Because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are victorious tonight. The Spirit of God gives... You can have victory in your life, not just on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, but you can have it Monday through Saturday. Because we have the victorious Spirit of the Lord in us. Look at your neighbor and say, wow! Oh, mercy. All right. Now, God gave us a gift. The ascension gift of the Lord going back home was and is the Holy Spirit. But did y'all know that upon His ascension, He also gave the church a gift? When the Holy Spirit came, turn with me to Ephesians. Y'all are going to like this. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me hear those pages. Ephesians chapter 4. All right. Here's God's gift, ascension gift to the church. And He Himself, Ephesians 4:11, and He Himself, now who is that? Who is He Himself? That's right. Gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The ascension gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to His church were gifted men. Wow! Apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Did you know that your pastor is God's gift to this church? Some of y'all don't go to this church, you go to another church. Did you know your pastor is God's gift to you? I know what some of y'all are thinking. You may be thinking, well, we got the gag gift. We got the booby prize. I want to tell you, did y'all hear about the preacher who wound up sick and in the hospital? Well, the chairman of deacons showed up that night after he'd been in the hospital all day and said, Pastor, we just want you to know we took a vote tonight. And the pastor said, what'd you take a vote about? And he said, well, the deacons got together after church tonight and we voted 5-4 to pray for your recovery. Down through the ages, God's great gift to the church were gifted men. And you know, I begin to think back on the men that God's gifted me and put in my life. I thank God for John Lida. Somebody's yawning. Oh, thank God for John Lida too. You know, I thank God for Roger Freeman. I thank God for men like Jerry Vines and James Merritt who poured into my life. I thank God for men like Adrian Rogers who's still preaching on the radio even though he's been gone for 10 years. I thank God for men like Jensen Franklin and Dr. Robert Smith and Steve Gaines. I thank God for men like Billy Graham and Warren Wiersbe and John R.W. Stott and these great biblical preachers who wrote some books in here. John Phillips. I could go on and on. But I thank God for these gifted men. God's gift to the church. Don't you? I'm grateful for these people. And I will tell you, I'm grateful for His preachers, His flames of fire. I'm so thankful for God's gifted men. And the hope of, I will tell you, the hope for America tonight is not in Washington, D.C. The hope for America tonight is not in the United Nations. The hope of America is in the church where God's gifted men are preaching an ascended Lord. That's where our hope needs to be, in the Word of God being preached in conviction and power and the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so I'm thankful for God's gift to the church. Let's go back to the Mount of Olives and just imagine that you're there with the disciples and Jesus is going up, 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 and a cloud receives Him out of their sight. Can you imagine that? I imagine the disciples must have been heartbroken. Over in the book of Acts, in that sister passage to this one, the verbs there, they were looking steadfast. That word steadfastly means they were stretching their eyeballs. They wanted to get one last glimpse. Can you imagine Simon Peter? Oh, there goes the Lord. He's the only one that could ever do anything with me. And old John, the beloved. Oh, I love my Lord. But I want to tell you, after that cloud received him up into their sight, do you remember what Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, the two angels or the two men, the marvelous announcement that they gave, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. Have you seen him go into heaven? And I want to tell you, that news set the disciples on fire. I mean, they lived looking for that blessed hope in the appearance of the glory, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus Christ went back to heaven. There was an exit from this world. Tell somebody tonight, there was an exit. Now, I'm getting to my favorite part now. The second thing we see happening here is there was an entrance into another world. There was not only an exit from this world, there was an entrance into another world. Now, let's go back to Luke and look at Luke 24:51b. It says that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Carried up into heaven. That's eistan uanan. Carried into heaven. What an imagine thing. And then back in Ephesians 4:10, it says that He ascended above all the heavens that He might fill all things. Up He went, up past the first heavens where the birds fly and the clouds float, up above the second heavens where the Milky Way galaxies and innumerable stars are, up into the third heavens of heaven itself. And the Bible reveals that Jesus Christ went to the very throne of God and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where Jesus is tonight. That's where He is tonight. Now, when describing, it's very interesting. Every time Jesus is talking about going back home, going back to where He was from the beginning, He describes Himself as Son of Man. Son of Man. Every time He talks about going home, He talks about Himself as Son of Man. And to me, that's the fact that Jesus came down as Son of God and went back to heaven as the man God, that is one of the most astounding, amazing concepts in all of the Word of God. There's a glorified man, humanity, on the throne in heaven. Jesus Christ is not some spirit. Now the Father is, but not the Son. He's Son of Man. There's a glorified humanity on the throne in heaven. And the Bible says one day we shall see Him how? Face to face. We will see Him as He is. And so the Bible declares in 1 Timothy 2:4, "For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus finished the work that God had Him to do and sent Him to do, and He now resides after His ascension as Lord over the universe. Turn with me real quickly to Philippians chapter 2. You'll like this. I know you're going to like it. Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 2 and verse 9 says, "Therefore..." Now, anytime you see "therefore," you ask yourself this question. What is "therefore" there for? Here's what "therefore" is there for. "God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so Jesus is now Lord of Lords, King of Kings over the universe. He's sitting at the very right hand of the throne of God. I think I've told you all some of these stories about people telling me, "Well, I saw Jesus yesterday." They might have seen an angel, but they didn't see Jesus, because my Bible tells me Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God, and He's not stepping down off that throne till He's coming to get His church. Y'all with me on that? I understand what, you know, all these, some of them I do understand, some of them I don't understand, but all we've got to go on is what the Bible says, not what somebody else tells us. And so Jesus is Lord of the universe. He's sitting on the throne of Almighty God tonight, and He's Lord. But now Hebrews 2:8 says that we are living now in the not yet. Let me get that for you real quick, because that needs some explaining. Hebrews 2:8 says, "You have put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we do not yet see all things put under Him." Now, the Bible says there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And He's Lord tonight, and He'll always be Lord. But we are living in the not yet has everything been made subject unto Him. In other words, people still have their own selfish, sinful will. And so we're living in the not yet, but it is the desire. Let me tell you, it is God's great desire that He be the Lord of your life. He's Lord of the universe, but it is His desire tonight to be the Lord of your life, that He might receive a personal crowning in your heart of hearts for Him. He has a right to be your Lord. Romans 14 and verse 9 says that Jesus died, rose, and lives again so that He might be Lord of the living and the dead. And I've never forgotten this story that Dr. Stephen Olford told. Dr. Olford grew up in South Africa. And one of the chieftains of the tribe, of one of the African tribes, had died. And Dr. Olford tells this story about a guy by the name of Dazi who was running to be the new chief. And some of those running against Dazi, some of those other guys that are wanting to be chief, had questioned his love for the tribe. And on election day, Dazi got up before all of his tribesmen and began to recount the day the leopard had invaded their village and how many lives had been lost that day due to the rampage of that leopard. And until Dazi had grabbed that leopard but with his own hands and crushed the leopard's skull with his own hands and arms, but not until that leopard had mangled his arms and his hands. And he said, "If I had not loved you, I would not have faced death for you." But he said, dramatically rather, he kind of lifted up those mangled arms and he said, "In the name of my wounds, I claim the right to be your leader." And immediately all those people in the tribe began to shout in one voice, "Dazi is our leader! Dazi is our leader! Dazi is our leader!" Do you remember the verse we read over there in Luke chapter 24 when the Lord ascended back to heaven? What did He do? He raised both His hands as if to say, "These are my wounds that were made for you. Because I love you, and in the name of my wounds, I claim the right to be your Lord." I will tell you, Jesus deserves to be Lord of our lives tonight. He's been crowned in heaven. Has He been crowned in your heart of hearts? Is He Lord? One of our men today was telling me that the message spoke to him today, and it was about an obedience issue. About he should have done something for the Lord. And you see, that's what it all boils down to. Are we going to just allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives and simply do what He's called us to do or not? He's Lord tonight. Amen? Tell somebody He's Lord. And so, what a celebration it must have been when Jesus got back to heaven. Can you imagine as Jesus swept through the gates of pearl when He got back home? And there must have been thousands and thousands of angels lining Old Glory Road. And can't you just hear those angel choirs singing and shouting, "Oh Lord, it's so good to see you. We're so glad you're back home. Lord, it just hadn't been heaven without you. Come on in." Y'all, I know I've been thinking and studying on this for weeks, but isn't that good news? My goodness, we've been Baptist too long. I don't know what it is, but this is exciting stuff just to think about, as Dwight was talking about earlier about singing. And so now I got this out of John Phillips' commentary. He is a fantastic Bible scholar, passed away a couple of years ago, but he wrote a commentary on Psalm 24, and I think I preached Psalm 24 here back in the summertime, but Psalm 24 was written to commemorate the day that the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into Jerusalem. And it was sung by this psalm was sung by two different choirs. There was one choir announcing as the Ark came back towards the gate, and then there was another choir back in that, right there at the gate of Jerusalem, singing antiphonally. I don't want to throw a big word on you, but y'all know what it means to sing antiphonally back and forth to one another? Isn't that what antiphonally means, y'all? I hope I've got that right. I think that's right. I thought surely there was some music scholar in here tonight. Anyways, they were singing antiphonally to one another as the Ark of the Covenant came back into Jerusalem. And you can read about that in Psalm 24. It's an amazing psalm. And I could just, through the eyes of faith tonight, I could see the Lord Jesus, the Ark of our salvation, coming back to the gates of pearl in heaven with the angel choir singing before he got to the gate, then with another choir on the other end, on the other side of the gates of pearl. And they're probably singing something like this. The choir at the gate begins to sing, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place?" And the angelic choir coming toward the gate with the Lord sings, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart." There's only one person in all of history, by the way, that qualifies for that. And His name is Jesus. And then the choir begins to sing, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And then the choir sings back, "Who is this King of glory?" And then the other choir sings back, "The Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory." You know, we love to hear "The King is coming" sung down here. What do you think it was like when they sang it up there? Amen, Second Mile Church. Y'all, I could be preaching this at a Pentecostal church somewhere in town tonight, and the place would just go bananas. They'd be running all over the place right now. What a wonderful, awesome scene this is. Do you get that in your heart and in your spirit and in your mind tonight? What do you think it was like when the King of Glory came marching in? The King came marching in. And then I got to thinking, Jesus eventually stepped up to the throne. And there was that wonderful meeting between the Father and the Son. He had abdicated the throne 33 and a half years ago. And as the Father steps down to greet the Son, He sees those wounds and says, "What are these wounds in thy hands?" "Father, these wounds are the hands that they were wounded in the house of my friends." And the Father pulls the Son to His bosom and announces to a redeemed universe, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the King of Glory sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think I've used this. You know you're getting older when you tell the same thing to the same people over and over again. Y'all got your thinking caps on tonight. But there's a little boy. How many of y'all ever learned how to fly a kite? Teach your grandchildren how to fly a kite. I don't see many kites being flown today. But there's a little boy, he's flying a kite. And he just kept giving, you know, that kite more leash and more string and more string. Before long, that kite done got out of sight. And he just held on tight, maintaining he had a kite. And then there was an older gentleman walked up and looked at the boy and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He saw this kid just hanging on to that kite, looking up there in the clouds. And he said, I've got a kite up there, sir." And the man said, "Son, how do you know you got a kite up there?" And the little boy said, "Sir, I can't see it, but I can feel the pull. I can't see Him tonight, but I feel the pull of our ascended Lord. He is coming, and He's coming soon. And I want to tell you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not ready. Just a few more days to be filled with praise. And to tell the old story. And when twilight falls and the Savior calls, we'll go to Him in glory." Would you pray with me? Before we pray, I think I'm with saved people tonight. I think most people here are born again. But if you're not, the plan of salvation is so simple. A little 7, 8, 9-year-old boy or girl can understand. Our sins have separated us from God. God's holy and righteous. So much so that he couldn't deal with our sin. Couldn't have anything to do with it. All he could do with sin was judge it. And so he sent his son to take my place and yours, to pay the price for all our sin. That's why Jesus left heaven and came to earth, to become the sacrifice for sin. And the Bible simply tells us if we would receive God's gift of salvation by grace through faith, he'll receive you tonight. And you can become a child of the King. And one day when he comes, he'll recognize you and call you by name and take you where he is. If you do that tonight, you can be saved. I want you to grab me and tell me what you did after the service. Let's all bow our heads. I think most of us in here probably know the Lord. But after hearing this tonight, and it is the desire of your heart to give the Lord Jesus a personal crowning in your spirit, in your heart of hearts tonight. And just reclaim him as the Lord of your life, like this fellow did this morning. And you want Jesus to be Lord over every area of your life. Would you slip your hand up in the air? Allow God to see that hand going up. You want the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life. God bless you all. Yes, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Amen. Father, there's so much that we don't understand and there's so much that we don't know. But God, you've given us enough of your word to know what's going to happen. And I pray, God, that until your Son steps down off that throne to come get us, I pray that we would trust you with every fiber of our being. And that we would live our lives by faith. As Billy was talking about this morning, being obedient through the very Spirit that lives within us to your call and commands upon our life. Because when others see that Jesus is Lord, they want what we have. And so God, as we move from this place tonight, may Jesus be Lord. And everybody that runs in contact with us might know it. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed to receive Christ tonight, it happens, y'all. Every now and then it happens in a church service like this. I want to know it if you prayed to receive Christ.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.